Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome on in San Diego on this Tuesday afternoon. Tony Gwynn Jr., my man, back in town. Chris Ello, fresh off of a nice little vacay away. Much deserved vacay. Matt Grady, of course, here as well as we get set for game six tonight. Dodgers, Rays, been a pretty entertaining series thus far. Got a nice show lined up for you today. Anthony Castro-Vince, MLB.com, will join us in his 3 o'clock hour. Eric Williams, SportsIllustrated.com, as well as the Rams beat reporter, will join us in the 4 o'clock hour. We got a big five. We got the countdown. We got getting to know us. But I think it's only fair that we start the show, and I know Chris normally doesn't like to talk fantasy, but there was a big-time showdown last night. We talked about it yesterday's show, and it came down to the very end. And, Chris, first of all, welcome back home, man. Nice to have you back on the show today. Can we give our partner a round of applause, please?
Thank you. Yeah, he got the dolphin and the round of applause.
Already. I know.
We'll give him another one. I didn't hear it.
I really wasn't on vacation. I was honestly just out in the outback, just avoiding all of the Padres Twitter people who now hate me because of one tweet that I sent out before the World Series asking everybody to change their opinion of Clayton Kershaw. And I happened to write in there that this is L.A.'s time and San Diego's time will be coming soon.
That
and I meant basically – I guess I didn't write it correctly, but I meant that this is L.A.'s time compared to San Diego's time. I think the Padres' time will soon come. I did not mean this is L.A.'s time to win the World Series, but that's how it was taken. And Padres' Twitter has been bombasting me for the last 6-7 days. I think it's hilarious, Tony, because you know me. I know me, and I know that I'm probably the biggest Dodger hater I've ever met. And yet I'm sitting here taking bullets for the Dodgers every time they lose a game. And it's been kind of ironic, this entire World Series, sitting there watching the Dodgers play and almost kind of hoping they win just so I don't have to hear from all the haters out there. It's been pretty comical. But I needed an extra day off, according to some other tweet people. I was supposed to come in yesterday, but since the 49ers won on Sunday, evidently I was too scared to come in and face Scraby.
That's true.
So that's why I took an extra day off yesterday. But it is all good to be back.
What do you have to say about the 49ers heading to Foxborough?
Wait,
before
we get into that,
yeah,
fandom can be a crazy, crazy thing sometimes. And I must say, it has been comical to me to see the kind of tweets you've been getting, knowing that I know how much you absolutely can't stand the Dodgers. You were just speaking baseball facts, really. And, you know, sometimes those are hard to hear if they don't really benefit you and your team. But certainly I knew where you were coming from. I know Chris hates the Dodgers as much as my dad hates the Dodgers, which is as high as on the marker as you could possibly get. But I thought it was funny watching all the tweets come at you, though.
It was pretty funny. But the World Series, I don't think it's going to end tonight. I think it's going to go to a seventh game. And I'll tell you, if the Dodgers don't end it tonight, I think they're going to be pretty tight for game seven, don't you, Tony? I mean, the specter of the Dodgers losing this series and becoming the first team in over 100 years to lose three World Series in a span of 4 years especially with the team that they have. I mean, everybody feels they should win it. They think they should win it. The pundits feel they should win it. But if they don't win it, it's gonna hang with them for a long, long time, and it's going to be fun to kind of watch that all unravel. But I think tonight's the key game. I think Tampa Bay's got to get it to a seventh game and get the pressure on the Dodgers, because I think that's where it would squarely be tomorrow.
I think the pressure would be on the Dodgers. I think this ends tonight. To me, whether it goes to a seventh game or not, I personally don't think we'll have much of an issue. I think the Dodgers, although they could be a little bit tight, ultimately all of the offensive success from the Rays has come against somebody not named Kershaw or Bueller. You will definitely see Bueller in a game seven tomorrow. And I just, looking at that offense against those two guys, it just doesn't look like nearly the same type of offense that we've seen in games not pitched by Kershaw and Bueller. And so that's why tonight is their best opportunity, I believe. Tony Gonsolin, who was probably, you could argue, was the second best pitcher on the Dodgers through the regular season, has struggled in this postseason, and you know they need some innings out of them. You know, this every bullpen day has turned out into some type of catastrophe for the Dodgers, and every game so far in this World Series tonight is supposed to be another bullpen day. We'll see how long Gosselin can go, but I think this is the best opportunity right here for the Rays, because I have a hard time seeing them being able to deal with Walker Buehler tomorrow.
I got to be honest with you, Tony. I want to go back. Obviously, Game 5 was played afterwards, but I want to go back to Game 4 a little bit and all of the unbelievable overmanaging in that game, I thought, by both Dave Roberts and by Kevin Cash. And if you go back to that game, it seemed like every time a pitcher got somebody out, they'd take them out of the game and bring in somebody else who would then give up a couple of runs. And this whole bullpen day thing, I don't think it's run its course. I think it's here to stay. But I hate it. I wish that they would let guys pitch a little bit, get the job done, get on a little roll, stay in the ball game. You know, I mean, the moves that Dave Roberts made in game number four, just over and over again. Blake Treinen was pitching just fine in the middle innings there, the seventh inning, and nope, he had to bring in Pedro Baez, and boom, three-run home run, Tampa Bay takes the lead. And then Nick Anderson's pitching pretty well for Tampa Bay, and nope, they got to take him out, bring some other guy in, lefty on lefty, and the Dodgers score two runs, and they take the lead. And then Jansen comes in, and it was just one bad move, I thought, after another by the man. It's just too much managing, and the analytics have taken over the game. We already talked about the four outfielder alignment. How about the Tampa Bay Rays being so anal that with a runner at second base and two outs in a tie game in the top of the ninth inning, they have their shortstop, Willy Adames, standing in front of the Dodger base runner at second base, apparently so that he could block his view of the catcher's signs. And then Adames had to race back to his position. And what happens? Corey Seager hits a bloop over his head that drops in just beyond his glove and drives in the go-ahead run. It's too much managing. Let these guys play ball. I mean, honestly, Willy Adames should be playing as deep a shortstop as he possibly can right there to cut down and keep any ground ball on the infield. He should have been there for that pop-up, and the game would have stayed tied. But obviously, the Dodgers made the final mistake in the bottom of the ninth inning with the throwing error and the kickball. And again, that was another managerial move, putting Chris Taylor in center field and taking out Cody Bellinger, one of the best defensive center fielders I've seen. There were just so many moves that are made, and I just wish that the managers would get out of the way and let these teams play.
Well, on that last one, Cody Bellinger couldn't play center. He had back spasms, which is why they made
the that I did not know. Okay, so I take that one back, but I'm not taking any of the other ones back.
Yeah, you had a lot of grievances there with both managers.
Yeah, I did.
They'll have a chance. I thought Dave Roberts, despite how you may feel for Game 4, I thought he finally did Clayton Kershaw a solid in Game 5, getting him out of that game and with 5 2/3, preserving that. Because a lot of times Clayton has been victim of this. I said this a couple days ago. If Clayton has been victim to managers not being able, past Dodger managers, not being able to trust their bullpen and or have enough depth. So he would have to stay out there a lot of times because he was the best option. That wasn't the case in Game 5. Because of that move, they have a Game 6 lead with a chance to close it out. We'll see how that goes. 5:08 tonight, Game 6. Dodgers with a chance to win a World Series. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say also on Game 5, I thought, again, Dave Roberts, I mean, he avoided the second guess of all time in the bottom of the eighth inning of that game, because what he did was he had his right-hander in the ball game pitching fine, and I think it was Dustin May, who was actually really pitching well. I think one guy got on base, and Tampa Bay pinch hit the left-hander, G-Man Choi. And so Dave Roberts took him out, took out May, and brought in his lefty, Victor Gonzalez, to get G-Man Choi. The problem was, after G-Man Choi, a Rosarena got an at-bat against the lefty with two men on. And if a Rosarena goes deep there and puts Tampa Bay ahead 5-4 and turns the whole series around because Dave Roberts brought a lefty in and took out Dustin May, that would have been an unbelievable second guess. He's fortunate that a Rosarena flied out and Gonzalez was able to get out of that inning. But, again, it just goes back to these managers. They're looking at so many analytics, and they're looking at so many options, and they're going back and forth with so many moves. I never thought I would like the rule, Tony, where a pitcher has to face three batters in an inning. I thought I would hate that rule. But I'll tell you one thing. If it wasn't for that rule, you'd have a pitching change on almost every batter the last three innings of every game.
Yeah. No, you there's a possibility of that. Listen, some of these, this is why managers get paid to manage. They have to make these decisions. And sometimes they're going to have to deal with us talking about it. Sometimes they're going to be able to say, hey, we know what we're doing. In that case, Dave Roberts says, hey, I got this. It gets his team the Game 5 win, and as I said, Game 6 tonight. Real quick, before I send us to break, we do need to have this discussion of the 49ers doing
and
their
fantasy
thing.
Football.
Well, you weren't here. I know you got pummeled on Twitter, but we did have a couple callers call in really on my head about, you know, not giving the 49ers any credit after they got that win.
Why should we give them any credit? They got blown out by the Dolphins by 26 points. They beat an absolute and beat up Patriots team that has lost three games in a row now. For the first time in 300 games, I can't believe that's an actual stat. But you had to go 300 games.
That's a real stat?
Yeah, you had to go back to 2002, I think, the last time the Patriots had lost three games in a row. And so the 49ers just caught them at a good time. But it was a fine performance by the 49ers, but I'm angry because Jerick McKinnon only got the ball three times and lost 1 yard. And that 1 yard is what I lost to Scraby in our fantasy football game by. It's almost as if Scraby had a little something to do with that somehow.
He paid him off? Is that what you
did? I did. I called Kyle Shanahan and I said, will you please not run Jerick McKinnon today? And he did.
He didn't run him at all, because if he would have got 0 yards, I would have beaten you.
He would have won.
But the fact is he got minus 1 yard, and that ended up being the difference in our unbelievable fantasy game, which I almost stole from you.
What was it, like 100.04 to a 99.96?
Yeah. I mean, it was less than a tenth of a point, and I almost caught you when Robert Woods had that unbelievable fumble last night.
Oh, believe me, I ran to my phone to see the update, and I was just dying to see it.
Because that cost you a couple of points.
Staring at the screen waiting for them to subtract.
It cost me 2 points, yeah. And then I'm like, oh, gosh. Like, if they make any sort of correction from this week on my guys, I'm done.
It's over.
I'm done.
Well, I'm still waiting a couple of days to see if they do make any corrections.
I am too. I'm not going to call it a win yet because
I know it's almost
the
game is almost our game was so close that it has to be like a presidential election. We're going to have to wait
hanging chads
another 2 or 3 days before they actually get it hanging chads. Yeah,
we're going to have someone else count. Official, but
now I have to congratulate you on that. I got no knocks on the Niners. They played a good game. They're playing well right now. They got a big test against the Seahawks, and I give Shanahan some credit. I'm not a fan, but, I mean, since that Dolphin game, he's been able to get them turned around. Defensively, they're playing much better right now, and they're still a last place team, Scraby.
They, I mean, well, technically,
you know, you can say whatever you want. They're still in last place. Sole possession of last place.
There is no technically. Either you are in first, second, third, or last.
But they're 4-3. I mean, they're.
They are technically. They're not just technically. Like Tony said, they're not technically last. They are last.
I think
we saw the beginning of the end for the Seahawks. And I think we.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, I think that the 49ers are going to catch them at the right time, too. And they're going to go on a run here pretty soon.
Well, either way, we got a lot of football left. We'll see. We didn't get to preview Game 6. We will do that when we come back. I got a long show. 4 hours for you today. Gwen, Chris, Scraby, when we return. 97.3, The Fan.
Hey, welcome back to the program, Chris Ello. Fresh off a little vacation. I know you're all so happy to have me back out there. Tony Gwynn Jr. I know Tony's happy to have me back, so people will yell at me instead of him for a few days here.
Glad to have you.
Yeah, it is always good to be yelled at and tweeted at and screamed at and emailed and all of the fun stuff that you guys do. Dodgers and Rays tonight. Game 6 of the World Series gets underway at about a little after 5 o'clock. We'll keep you up to date on everything going on. Anthony Castrovince from MLB.com is going to join us for a preview of the game here in about 15 minutes, so we look forward to that. You know, Tony, I mentioned that, you know, it seems like the Dodgers are going to win this thing, and, you know, if everybody wants to read into that and think I'm rooting for them, then go right ahead. I'm sorry, my Mookie Betts jersey is just going to be coming out of the dryer here shortly, and I'll be wearing it soon. But, look, the Dodgers have out-hit Tampa Bay 264-228. They've out-homered them 11-8. They got more doubles, more walks, fewer strikeouts, more stolen bases. They've been kind of better in every category. But Tampa Bay, John Smoltz said something during Game 4 that was really interesting when I was watching the other night. And he said that no team in Major League Baseball during the course of the season has played more games where your stomach is churning and you're sucking down Tums than the Tampa Bay Rays. They love games like that, where it's back and forth and bullpens and matchups and pinch hitters and, you know, all kinds of changes and back and forth and scary games. And I think that's what Tampa Bay's got to get in. They got to force the Dodgers into a little pressure. They got to force the Dodgers to start thinking that they're about to become one of the all-time biggest disappointments in sports history, because I think that's what the Dodgers would be. I'm trying to compare, you know, some other teams. Obviously the Bills always come to mind because they lost 4 straight Super Bowls, but the Bills were only favored in one of those games. The other 3 games they played better teams. They played a Redskin team that was far superior, and they played Dallas back to back when Dallas had all their Hall of Famers lined up. And Buffalo wasn't the better team. I mean, they were in there 4 years in a row, but they weren't the better team. And you know, Lakers-Celtics over the years, I know the Celtics beat them quite a few times, and the Yankees beat the Dodgers over the years in the Brooklyn days. But I don't know that there's ever been a team in any sport, Tony, that I can think of that was clearly, you know, probably the best team in the game for 3 or 4 years running, and had the highest payroll and had the best players and had all everything that goes with it, and came up short in a World Series 3 times in 4 years. We know that hasn't happened in 100 years. So I think that that's what the Rays have to do tonight. They have to make sure, they have to put the Dodgers' backs against the wall a little bit and make it a close game and hope that they can prevail. And like I said, if they get to a 7th game, Charlie Morton has been the ultimate Game 7 pitcher. That doesn't guarantee anything. You mentioned Walker Buehler would start for the Dodgers in Game 7. He's been spectacular. But the Dodgers would have to start thinking about it if they get to a 7th game. Oh, my God, what if this happens to us again?
I don't know. I mean, they've been – it's not as though they haven't been in this position before. I mean, they
lost – that's true. They were in it to the Braves.
Right. They've been in these spots before, and – I just think when you look at the Dodgers, that won't be the reason why they lose. I mean, if they get beat, when they have lost, it's been a failure at at some point in the game, whether it's the bullpen giving it up at the end, whether it's kicking the ball in the outfield. It's always something. Now, last time they were in the World Series, they were not the better team. The Red Sox were the better team, and they showed it by the beatdown that they took in that World Series. But you're right. In the Houston series, I think they were the better team. Now, you can argue it was Houston and some of the things that transpired after. You know, people may feel some type of way about that. But in this series, they are clearly the better team. And they should be able to close the door on this. If they get to a Game 7, yes, there will probably be a little bit of tightness. That's natural. But I think ultimately Walker Buehler won't be tight. And he'll be out there, and that's their best. That's one of their best guys going. So, not that you want to get to a Game 7. I predicted this series would end in 6. I think it ends tonight. I think Gosselin gives them his best performance thus far in this series. And the way their offense has really been clicking, really everybody, it seems like, is starting to swing the bat in the Dodgers lineup. They're dangerous, and they're going to need Blake Snell. I almost always call him Ian. It's crazy in my mind, but Blake
Snell.
Did you
face Ian Snell when he pitched?
I did.
That must be Ian Snell.
That's exactly what it is. But Blake Snell, who was terrific his last start, although Dodgers ended up getting to him. And I don't even know if it didn't get him. We've talked about the managerial, the pitching changes for the Tampa. We've been talking about that pretty much the entire playoffs. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see if he gives him a little leeway. I doubt it. He hasn't done it the entire season, including the playoffs. He hasn't veered away from that. But if there was a time to do it, if Blake Snell is throwing the ball well, tonight might be the night to do it.
Tonight might also be the first time you ever see a pitcher punch his manager right there on the mound. Because every time Blake Snell gets taken out of a postseason game, he swears up a blue streak right on the mound as he's being taken out.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's usually because he's pitching really well and then gives up a ground ball single somewhere and a blooper and falls behind a guy 2-1 in the count. And here comes Kevin Cash with a 4-1 lead, taking him out, and Blake Snell goes crazy. Yeah. In this situation, assuming the kind of competitor that Blake Snell is, if he's pitching well in the fifth or sixth inning and Kevin Cash comes out, that could be quite the confrontation. But go ahead.
I don't know if he has any more layer of skin to bite through on his bottom lip.
That's what I'm saying, right?
If they yank him out again, like, he might puncture through the whole thing this time, because he's almost done it the first two times it's happened to him in these playoffs.
He goes absolutely crazy. Well, I'll tell you, I think Tampa Bay is going to win tonight, and I think it's going to be interesting, and I think it's going to just – look, the last 14 times that a World Series was tied 2-2, the winner of Game 5, which was the Dodgers in this case, has gone on to lose the World Series 8 of the 14 times. Now, that doesn't mean that's going to happen this time. It just means that it's happened many times in recent years. Now, the difference is, of course, there's no home field advantage one way or the other. Of course, last year the Nationals had to go on the road to Houston and win Game 6 and Game 7. But I think Tampa Bay believes that they can do it. You know, they're going to need something big again. I think Brandon Lau has been a key guy. I mean, guy hits 2 home runs in one game, hits a 3-run homer in another game. I think he's a key guy. And obviously, Rosarena has just turned into, you know, just one of the great hot streaks of all time. And, you know, everybody will remember Game 4 for all of the things that happened in that game, which was a ton of things. It was a classic game, and it ended on that crazy play with the Rosarena falling down and then getting up and scoring the winning run. But I thought the key moment in the game was when Kenley Jansen walked him and just really wasn't, you know, didn't have the guts really to go after him and try to punch him out there. And that put the go-ahead, the winning run on base, and Rosarena ended up coming around. But he's a factor in the lineup even when he's not swinging the bat, because the Dodgers are pitching around him or are worried about him in all situations. So great job by Rosarena. I didn't think he'd have an effect in the World Series the way he did during the playoffs, but he has.
Yeah, you got to pick your poison. Going into this series, when Brandon Lau was not swinging the bat well, as I said, I think we said this before Game 1, you go into this series not letting a Rosarena beat you.
Yeah.
And that's where...
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
3:36 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello back in town. Hanging out with the gang. Matt Scraby alongside for the ride. 3:36 on the clock, as I said. And game six today. Tampa, L.A., L.A. looking to close out the series. And joining us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline is Anthony Castro-Vince, MLB.com. Anthony, thank you for your time. Let me start with Game 6. How do you see this finishing today? You think the Rays push it to a 7, or you think the Dodgers in this series tonight?
Well, I went into the series predicting the Dodgers in 6, so I guess I'm legally bound to that at this point. And I still feel that way, too, just because they've really dominated the series for the most part. You know, they've had a lead in the last, I think it's a 27 straight innings. And obviously, you know, game 4 got a little hairy there in the bottom of that inning. But aside from that, you know, and what happened in game 2 with the bullpen game, they've really just held serve in this series. Now, of course, the key question is, can they bullpen their way through game 6? And you can ask the same question of the Rays, because I don't know that, I think the hook will be pretty aggressive with Blake Snell if he runs into trouble. So this is a really, you know, and we see these more and more in the postseason. It's used to just kind of look at the starters and make your prediction based off of that. You can't really do that anymore because I don't expect either of these starters to go particularly deep tonight. So it's going to come down to the bullpen.
Anthony, if you were Dave Roberts, how would you manage tonight's game in terms of using your pitching staff? Because, as you mentioned, yeah. Gonsolin is going to start. And then, really, I mean, you can't obviously use Kershaw. You can't use Buehler. He's going to pitch tomorrow. Arias threw a lot of pitches in the fourth game, and Dustin Nay pitched in the fifth game. And who do they go to? Pedro Baez wasn't very successful. Trinan probably is going to get saved for the ninth inning along, or Jansen. Who do they go with in the middle innings?
Yeah, it's a great question. We've seen him use Brusdar Graterol in these playoffs in a variety of roles, and you're certainly going to see him tonight, I would suspect. You know, he had gone back-to-back, and he stayed away from him in game 5, but you know, I'm sure that's a guy he trusts in high leverage circumstances. So I would expect to see him, you know, Baez, he hangs around, right? He's hung around in this Dodgers run the last 7-8 years. He's been a big part of that. And I would suspect to see him as well. I think the key question is, how would he feel about bringing Dustin May back on, you know, one night of rest, basically after 30 pitches in game 5, you know, that's kind of the key to the whole thing. Urias, I think might be an option. You know, as you said, he pitched in the fifth inning back on Saturday. So, you know, 2 days off after that. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility you see him or May, but it's certainly, you know, it could be a scramble, you know. And that's been that this is where the Dodgers have been a little short in this series is in the bullpen. And I think the Rays bullpen, we all expected going in to be the deeper of the two groups, but they've had their struggles in this series as well. So that's why tonight's a total toss-up for me.
Anthony Castro-Vince joins us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline, MLB.com. And Anthony, like yourself, I also picked the Dodgers in 6. And, you know, I can't help but notice, though, every time Blake Snell has been on the mound and been in just the smallest bit of trouble, there's been a quick hook. And I have a hard time understanding it. This late in the season, I understand getting them through the regular season, you're trying to keep them healthy, but if there was a time to empty the tank, it certainly seems like this would be the time.
Yeah, you know, we've seen with Snell, you know, for whatever reason, his command has not been as good as he gets deeper into games. And you could say that at a lot of pitchers, but for him, it's been, you know, even more pointed. I think when he gets around that 50 pitch mark, it's been a pretty strong line of demarcation for him in particular this season. Yeah, so I think that's just something they have to be mindful of. And again, I'm not saying you definitely manage that way. If he looks really good, you know, you ride him, but at the same time, and this is an elimination game, you know, and their bullpen is fully rested after yesterday. So that's why I just called it up here while I'm talking to you guys. So OPS against first 25 pitches, 498, second 25 pitches, 708, 51 to 75 pitches, 880. So it goes up pretty dramatically for him, you know, as he gets deeper in the game. So again, it's just something they have to be mindful of. And with a fully rested bullpen, I don't know if it would be worth, you know, trusting him, especially that third time through the order, as we see so often.
Anthony Castrovitz, MLB.com, nice enough to talk a little World Series with us. I've been discussing with Tony a little bit, Anthony, what happens here if, and it's a big if, but we've seen it, you know, last year Washington came back and took Game 6 and 7, and we've seen some other teams do it in recent years. If the Dodgers don't win this World Series, I mean, we get through tomorrow night and Tampa Bay is celebrating. How are we going to be able to categorize this Dodger baseball team? I mean, is it going to be one of the great disappointments of all time? I mean, can we put it on that kind of a level if the Dodgers, with this kind of talent and payroll, don't end up getting their World Series, which everybody thinks they're going to get?
Yeah, I mean, if that is the scenario, they'd be venturing into Buffalo Billsdom at that point, you know. That would be 3 and 4 years where they get to the World Series stage and don't get it done. And in this, you know, in this case, have the 3-2 lead and don't get it done. Again, I expect them to get it done, but it's there. You know, the opportunity is there for the Rays to still play the spoiler here. And what a story that would be. Because, yeah, the Dodgers have amassed 8 straight division titles and, you know, various things have gotten in the way of them actually winning it. And we all know, you know, 2017, we'll always, I guess, wonder now, you know, might that have looked different in other circumstances? But yeah, this is certainly a moment where, you know, you go out and acquire superstar Mookie Betts for this very purpose. And they've gotten where they're expected to be. I think if the Dodgers win this World Series, I think that takes a lot of the steam out of anybody who wanted to put an asterisk on the 2020 season, because, you know, that very well may have been the result in a full season. They were definitely built to handle the 162 game season and to get where they are right now. And they're definitely built to finish the job. But yeah, if they don't, that's, it is brutal, because they even got, you know, 2 really strong Clayton Kershaw starts, which has of course been, you know, a bit of a postseason bugaboo for them to get 2 of those in one series. And they did. Again, I expect them to do it, but yeah, that would be pretty brutal if they don't.
Yeah, I think that might be the toughest part to swallow, is the fact that you did get 2 really good Clayton Kershaw outings, and if you squander those and end up losing the World Series, man, they'll never hear the end of it. Anthony, let me sneak a Padre question in here before we let you get out of here. I made the point to say that the Padres are on the verge of having their version of Mookie Betts in Fernando Tatis Jr., and I think it was a couple weeks ago, A.J. Preller mentioned that there was some interest of possibly getting an extension. Just a roundabout guess, what would you think it would have to take to get a guy like Fernando Tatis Jr. to take an extension? Because, I mean, other than Acuna and Albies, most guys of their caliber are willing to wait this out. What do you think it'll take to keep a guy like Fernando Tatis Jr. here?
That's a great question, because we're in such a weird moment in the industry where we don't know what free agency is going to look like this winter. We don't know what the next collective bargaining agreement is going to look like a year from now. So that's a fascinating one for both sides in terms of trying to figure out what the number would be. Now, just, you know, given the way that, you know, these numbers have gone up, if that trend were to hold true, I mean, it probably starts with a 2, I would think, $200 million, as opposed to, you know, you'd be able to lock up a young talent like that for something that began with a 1, you know. But again, is that trend going to hold true at this moment? It might be difficult for both sides to come to it a number. But if you put a 2 in front of a young man, it's kind of hard to say no. You know, even knowing how great his talent is and what his future might hold. So, yeah, that's kind of where my head's at with it. But I had to file a predictions piece today, in fact, for the offseason. It's just like, I mean, nobody knows. Anybody who tells you they know what's going to happen this winter is lying to you. Nobody knows if there's going to be fans next year. So it just, that impacts everything. That flows down into everything. And it's not a particularly deep free agent market. So it's going to be a very strange winter.
Yeah, very strange winter indeed. And speaking of predictions, throw a couple at us in terms of what do you think of some of these rules changes that that were put in play this year? I mean, we've heard hints one way or the other on some of them. What do you think baseball is going to do? And how normal do we think baseball will be come spring training? Or does baseball – I should say, how normal does baseball think things are going to be come spring training?
Yeah, everybody's just, you know, hoping at this point. Obviously, yeah. You know, vaccine plays so much into that, and that's not a baseball question. But it was great that baseball was able to get through this season, but then you run into the same questions next spring that you had, you know, this past spring and early summer, which is if there aren't fans in the stands, you know, what are both sides going to be comfortable with in terms of you know, be it a reduction in salary or what have you. So they obviously fought tooth and nail over that until the bitter end last summer, and ultimately the commissioner implemented a season. So I don't know what that would look like for a full season. So you have that issue. And then as far as the rules go, you know, we all know that, you know, some of this stuff was put in place because of the pandemic and the health and safety protocols. But, you know, a couple of them are probably going to stick, I think, long term. I think there's a really good chance. First of all, universal DH has always been, you know, it's always been coming. It's something that is probably going to be part of the next collective bargaining agreement. So while I don't know for sure if we'll have it in 2021, I would suspect we'll have it in 2022. It just makes all the sense of the world. And then the extra innings thing, I don't know how you guys felt about it, but I came around on that very quickly.
Yeah.
I just liked the instant tension it brought to the game. And, you know, I understand the purist argument, but I've been to many long extra inning games during the regular season. And what happens? People leave. There's very few people who are actually that invested in it. And I really like the instant drama that it created to have that base runner. So, I, you know, and that's just my opinion, but I think that opinion was shared by a lot of people, and I would not be surprised if that has a shelf life to it before long as well.
Yeah, Anthony, you're certainly not alone. I thought I was going to absolutely hate that rule, and it turned out to probably be my favorite rule of all the new ones that they had this year. So we got our fingers crossed that both of these sides can get on the same page and we get a vaccine, because, as you said, it's not a baseball question, but certainly an important one for baseball. Anthony, appreciate your time, man, as always, and we'll catch up with you a little bit later.
All right, guys. Enjoy the game.
Good stuff.
Thank
Anthony.
You, Anthony Castro-Vince there, MLB.com on the SDCCU fan hotline. SDCCU online and mobile banking lets you do your banking from your smartphone. Message and data rates may apply. For details, visit SDCCU.com. Let's check traffic. Kelly Danik.
Got a crash in the westbound King Freeway just before the 125. Not showing if any lanes are blocked. Southbound side of the 15 just before Claremont Mesa Boulevard. Tow truck's on scene of an accident. That is in the center divide. I'm Kelly Danik with Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
So, Anthony said, talking about Fernando Tatis Jr., Anthony said something that starts with a two. And here's the beauty of this, right?
Man, a two.
Junior is young enough where he could get like a 5 to 7 year deal now and still hit free agency at 27, anywhere between 26 and 28 again. So, yeah. Listen, that number may seem steep, and certainly it's not my money. It's not Chris's money either. But, man, that would be nice to lock a player of his caliber up for 5, 6, 7 years. Even if it does, the number does start at a two. You lock him in there. You got him and Manny for quite some time to be able to do some serious damage.
Don't you think that if you get him for 7 years, it's going to be about $1 million a year, though, similar to what Machado's making? I mean, that seems to me what I would be asking for in the range of if I was Fernando Tatis Jr. And the only thing that concerns me is – you know, now Machado's, and you know this stuff better than I do, Tony. I never understand all these opt-out rules, but Machado can opt out, or they can opt out, what, after 5 years, something like that?
I believe so.
But if you have two guys making $30 million a year, will you be able to, you know, afford to keep anybody else as they come available for contract stuff later on. And that's always something that's got to be in the back of your mind, isn't it, when you're putting this all together?
Absolutely. You have to be thinking down the line. I don't know that 30 is the number. I think one of the reasons why you don't take a early deal is because you want to maximize your value. And the $30 million value is what Manny got in free agency, not taking a deal early.
Right.
Part of the deal of taking a deal early is that you are going to take somewhat of a discount. You know, you're going to get the security as opposed to the top dollar if you take a deal early, which is why in the past you haven't seen a lot of guys do it. You see more guys get to the end point where they are maximizing whatever it is that they're going to get, and then they take top dollar from there. Now, if you decide that you want to do an extension, at that point you are saying, hey, I'm willing to take a little bit less, not necessarily a haircut, but a little bit less in order to stay where you're at. And I think it's an exciting moment at this point that both sides are open to those discussions. Now, how open, ultimately, once, as AJ said in an interview we played that John Heyman and I did on Big Time Baseball, as he said then, we're going to throw numbers at each other and see where each other stands first. And then that's when you really get a kind of an idea of how likely something like that is to happen.
Yeah. It would, you know, it seems to me, since you've gone in with Machado, you kind of got to go all in with Tatis, and that's why I think Fernando's got the leverage here. You know, I mean, why would you give Machado or want Machado around for, you know, 6 or 7 years or 5 or 6 years anyway after Tatis leaves and goes somewhere else? Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, it almost feels like you have to keep Fernando, so... it's going to be something that the Padres are going to have to wrestle with and figure out a way to get done. And you know, obviously the fan base is going to, you know, it's a 100-0 vote on whether or not the Padre fan base is going to, you know, celebrate, or they're going to mutiny if somehow Fernando Tatis Jr. doesn't stay. So that's obviously in the thinking process as well.
Yeah. The beauty is that there's time. This is going to be his third full season. You got some time, but you got to balance that time between his value going up and you getting something done. So we'll see how it goes, but certainly I think it's a good thing that both sides are open to it, because for a long time we kept hearing, no, we're not having these discussions. No, nobody's had that. Nobody's talked to him about it. But at the end of the season, when you hear A.J. Preller say that both sides are open to it, that's a good thing. That's certainly a good thing.
Yeah, well, I hope that they it would be great. I mean, it would be a huge boost, obviously, to the Padres to be able to lock him up and get some sort of Acuna-type deal done and, you know, just know that the left side of the infield is set forever.
Yeah.
It's funny when you talk about the left side of the infield. I was noticing this the other night because they showed a shot of the left side of the Dodger infield. And, you know, talking about how great the left side of the infield is on, you know, some of these teams in the National League West. I mean, Colorado thinks they've got one of the best because they've got Story and Arenado. I think those guys are a few steps behind, but still pretty good tandem over there. Obviously, Tatis and Machado for the Padres is remarkable. But the two leading World Series MVP candidates are the two Dodgers on the left side of the infield, Seager and Justin Turner. So I think it's interesting that we kind of forget about those two guys because they have so many superstars on that ball club. But, I mean, Seager, he's going to make a ton of money. He's got, what, one more year left until free agency, something like that? And Turner's a free agent now, is he not?
Yeah, he'll be a free agent at the end of the year.
Yeah, I mean, these two guys are just amazing.
Isn't it crazy how quickly people can get out of your – once they're not in front of you, how quickly you forget? I mean, Corey Seager, a couple years ago, was in the same discussion as Lindor. And then he hurts his elbow. He misses a year. And all of a sudden, like, this is all brand new to us again. Like, Corey Seager playing the way he has. And you're right. That left side has been – and Turner, you know, Turner's – he going to go down as one of, like, the best Dodgers in terms of playoff numbers in the history of their organization. So
it's got all the numbers. It's got all the records.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, listen, that team is certainly one of those teams that I think you see the Padres – making kind of following in terms of how they're putting together the roster. And that's why you've seen the Padres make the jump that they have over the last few years. It's because they've started getting good in those areas. And those areas, scouting, developing, and then A.J. Preller with the poker-faced deals he's made to bring guys over has also helped. But still more to come with the Padres, for sure. Years and years to come, I believe. All right, let's get to break. When we come back, thankfully, Chris is back to take over this segment. Chris versus the Fan on the way. Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3, the Fan.
Is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.